even though we have a couple of wonderful texts that would invite things to be otherwise, this sermon is not a presentation about how God in Christ has come to redeem you from sin. For today, I want to assume that you know that message. In fact, if you don't already know and believe that Jesus is your Savior and that you're saved by grace alone, you probably won't want to hear what I have to say today. Because this sermon, you see, deals with the topic, a topic, for believing Christians who know they are saved, but who really want to grow in discipleship. This is a sermon for people who desire a life of faithful following of Jesus, people who want to receive the blessings that come to those who follow, trust, and obey. You see, obedience is indeed an essential part of the Christian story, but it is not Christianity 101. When we talk about this subject matter, it really is kind of like a graduate course in Christianity. So let's get started. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5 that the Spirit is working at all times to produce the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. That is, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. These are the things that the Spirit wants to produce in each of us. And marvelously and wonderfully, God does work these gifts in our lives. But it works like this. Our lives of prayer and obedience provide a kind of fertile soil in which the Spirit can work these fruits of the Spirit. Now, of course, God doesn't love us less when we fall short at prayer and obedience. God loves us all the time, and again, of course, we're saved by grace. But with a life of prayer and obedience to God's word, we yield larger harvests of the fruits of the Spirit. Now, I know that someone out there is saying in their heart right now, now, wait a second, Pastor. You mean that God can't just leap over all the barriers and all the problems of my life and produce these fruits of the Spirit? Because God leaps over all my sin and gives to me the gift of salvation, why can't he just leap over everything and just make all these fruits come forward in my life? Well, good for you, because this is partly true. They are called gifts, after all, gifts of the Spirit. And that's exactly what God is doing. It is a gracious work of his that the Spirit indwells us and brings forth these fruits of the Spirit, even though we may not be the very best of soils. They are graces, by the way, that emanate from the presence of the Spirit. But here's the thing. It's not like when the Spirit comes to us, it's empty in there. You've got some problems. By the way, so do I. We're kind of rocky soil. We have a lot of issues and barriers. And so you see, when God invites us to a life of prayer and obedience, he's inviting us to a life that, if you will, invites the Spirit to work in our lives. When we are humble before God's word and when we are repentant, it clears the way for the Spirit to truly work with us and to produce these fruits in our lives. Our willing obedience to God's word opens the door. And this is why the Ten Commandments and all the instructions of Jesus are present for us throughout the Scriptures. In John chapter 14, Jesus says it this way. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And this indicates an action, a response on our part. Of course, keeping the commandments is the right thing to do. It's pleasing to God. But beyond all of that, it also makes us the good soil in which his Spirit can truly produce these fruits of the Spirit that God would have us produce. Love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Such obedience is like our faith and our trust in action. Thus, Paul could plead to the Ephesians when he said to them in chapter 4, I beg you, he says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling which you have received in Jesus Christ. So let's talk about Christian obedience, our willingness to bow to the Word of God and to His commandments. And you remember, I think almost everybody knows the Ten Commandments. We kind of, I don't know, I'm not going to test you, but we know the Ten Commandments kind of, and so when I say them, it won't be a surprise to you. I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. You shall not cover your neighbor's house or anything else that is your neighbor's. These are God's rules for the way in which the human machine is supposed to operate. He made us, and so he knows that these things work. Every human being is supposed to follow these rules. But here's the thing. If we believe and honor God with our faith, we should be on the front lines of obediently following these rules that God gave us. Now, I think it's instructive for us to remember how God gave the Ten Commandments in the first place. I think it helps us understand something about where they fit in our lives. Let me summarize for you what happened on Mount Sinai according to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and following. When God gave the commandments to Moses atop the mountain, you might remember that there was fire and smoke, and that there was a loud voice that gave the Ten Commandments. And not only did God put the commandments on the tablets to give to Moses, but the people down below also heard his voice, it says, and they saw the smoke and the fire. And this display frightened the people. This kind of naked revelation of the power of God, they felt like they were going to be consumed and that God was going to kill them there in the wilderness. Because being in such close proximity to the very presence of God is an overwhelming thing. So here's what they did. When Moses came down, all the leaders and the chiefs of the tribes met with Moses. And they made a request, and it was really quite simple. They came to Moses, and they made a solemn promise to him. And here's what they said, and I quote now from verse 27 of chapter 5. Go back, Moses, they said, and you listen to everything that the Lord our God says, and then return and tell us what God says to you, and we will listen and we will obey. In other words, they said, God won't have to do fire and smoke, and we don't have to hear his voice anymore coming from heaven. You just tell us what God wants, and we will do this thing. So, Moses went back up the hill, and here's what God said to Moses. I have heard what these people said, and they are right. If only they would always feel this way. If only they would always honor me and obey my commandments so that everything would go well with them and with their descendants forever. What a remarkable story. And just think for a second, what a transformation would happen in the world today if everybody felt the same about this. If everybody would simply say to God, we hear what you have to say, we will honor and obey it. What if that was possibly to happen? Well, we can kind of conjure in our minds what a wonderful place it would be if we could rely on everybody to keep the Ten Commandments. Of course, we're realistic. We know that's not going to happen. Not in the world in which we live. It's wishful thinking. And yet, isn't it all the more reason that people who do profess faith in God and believe in God should earnestly seek to keep the Ten Commandments in their lives? Those who do believe and trust in Jesus should be inviting the presence of God's Word into our lives, because it is the will of God for our lives. It's how our human machine is supposed to operate. And I know it's harder when everybody else isn't keeping the Ten Commandments. But all the more important that we do. To be the good soil, to be the kind of soil that brings a harvest of the fruits of the Spirit. You know, we have such a better picture of God than did those Israelites there at Mount Sinai. They had Moses, but we, of course, have Moses and Jesus and all of his loving words to us and his guidance for us, the gift of the Spirit. They had the law. Of course, we have the law too, but we also have the gospel. We know we're saved by grace. They had hope, but we have hope and a promise. God has already promised us that he'll save us by his blood. We don't have to keep the commandments in order to be saved. Ten commandments, though, are still God's good design for all people, for all time, and they always will be. But living in the grace and the love of Jesus, you see, it's not a have to. It's a get to. I get to be pleasing to God. I get to be his child, and what a wonderful thing that is. I get to be good soil in which he can grow the fruits of the Spirit, and thereby my life can be a blessing to him and to others. Living in relationship with Jesus, who gave his life for us, who forgives us, who loves us, in this relationship, you see, doing the Ten Commandments is simply a vehicle for an expression of my faith. I don't have to obey. I get to obey. In relationship with Christ, you see, we have a new heart, a heart that's malleable and wanting to do what God has given us to do. Any person who thinks that these commandments that God gave to us, these rules about how to live our lives, are a burden, if somebody thinks that they're somehow a crimp on our lifestyle, they simply don't understand the truth of the gift that God has given. Our heart should be eager. Our heart should be given to Jesus. Jesus loves us. He forgives us. These Ten Commandments show us a way in which we can love him in return. I pray for each of us today that we can somehow have that kind of courage that the people at Mount Sinai had. It really was remarkable what they did, the kind of commitment that they had to simply request, Moses, you go find out what it is that God wants us to do. You come back and tell us, and we will do it. We will do it. God, give us that kind of a heart today. Amen.